when you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, well, I will dry them all. I will brush them all away now.
Hey, everybody, this is DJ Detour, and it is 3 o'clock, so it's time for my show Behind the Bit on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So today I'm going to talk about something that is very important to me and something I'm very passionate about in my life, which is vaulting or equestrian vaulting. And when I say that, a lot of people's first reaction is, oh, okay, so you pole vault, but that's not what it is at all. Equestrian vaulting is a sport that is a combination of dance and gymnastics on a moving horse. It's really cool, but I'm going to talk about it quite a lot today, but you really just have to, you can go on YouTube and watch a video and it's going to be an even better explanation than what I can tell you, because you really just have to see it to understand how awesome it is, and it's a whole lot of fun too. So I've been riding horses for 17 years, and I rode competitively for many of those years. And I had a couple of friends who rode horses with me and were very involved in this other equestrian sport that I didn't know a whole lot about. Vaulting is, like I said, gymnastics and dance on horseback. And eventually these two girls finally convinced me that I should come to a practice with them and see what it was about and all that good stuff. So I decided, okay, I guess I'll just come to a practice with you guys, because we were friends anyways. And after that one practice, I was hooked. And that was 7 years ago. And I'm still vaulting, not as much as I want to, but more during the summertime when I'm not here at Dominican. I've formed a lot of really amazing friendships with a lot of my teammates, as well as bonds with the amazing gentle giants that make this sport possible. And I'm going to give you guys a basic overview of what the sport is about, what it consists of. So there's a whole bunch of different levels of competitive vaulting. And they include tiny tot, which is one of the only levels that really has an age limit to it. And tiny tot is one of the most entertaining levels to watch at competitions, because they are, I want to say around, I think it's like 3 to 4 you can be in the tiny tot division. And they just compete at walk, and they usually have a helper or an aide who's a person who's going to walk alongside the horse and kind of talk to the vaulter and help them remember what they're doing and stay on track. And, you know, of course, we don't want them to fall off or anything, and we don't let that happen because of the aides who help them out. So that's a lot of fun to watch. There's also, up from that, there's a trot division that they do all the same stuff as all the canter divisions, but it is at a trot, which is a slower speed, although in my opinion it's harder to vault at the trot than at the canter, because at the trot there's not really much of a rhythm, it's just kind of really bouncy. As for canter, there's copper, bronze, silver, and gold. And as you can imagine, copper is the lowest of those four, gold being the higher level, and vaulting is, I consider it a team sport, but it's also kind of an individual sport as well. And there's a whole bunch of different events that include individual compulsories, individual freestyle, team, and then there's triples and doubles and pas de deux. And in addition to all these events that are competed on the horse, there's also events on the barrel. And the barrel is a stationary barrel that is elevated from the ground about, 3.5 feet. And when you compete on the barrel, you're able to perform a lot of exercises that are more difficult than things you would be able to perform on the horse, because it is stationary and all barrels are the same size. And so you're able to do some stuff that's a little more complicated, which is always fun. And two of the main events that are performed at every competition are the individual compulsories and the individual freestyle. And compulsories are a set of 7 set exercises that all vaulters execute in a specific order. And although now it's the rules have changed a little bit, so some of the lower levels their compulsories are a little bit modified. But as for the ones that that I compete at, and most people up at the higher levels, I guess, compete at, are mount, basic seat, flag, mill, scissors, stand, and flank. And I should have already explained this, but in vaulting, there's a lunger in the center of the circle who has the horse on a lunge line, and the horse will be cantering in a circle around that person. And for compulsories, for individual compulsories, one vaulter will come out to the middle of the circle at a time, and then they will run out towards the horse, and the first compulsory is mount. So you grab the handles and you mount the horse, which is kind of hard to explain. But if you're doing it correctly, your upper body, well, you're running out to the horse and the horse is going in. What you're going to do is grab the handles and run next to the horse, and your chest would be facing in the same direction that the horse's chest is facing. So you're not turned in towards them, you're running directly next to them. And so you grab the handles, and then your upper body goes basically over your left arm, and you kick your leg up and mount the horse. And for basic seat, you are sitting down and you have your arms out. And there's a whole bunch of technicalities about all these, but I won't get too crazy into that. And then for the next one, which is flag, you get onto your knees on top of the horse's back, and you basically make a box with your knees, wrists, shoulders, and hips. And then you extend your left arm and right leg simultaneously, and that is flag. For mill, a lot of places that do vaulting at their summer camps, they call it around the world, I think it's hilarious. But what you do for that is you start with your right leg and it passes in front of your face, and then you're sitting sideways, and then you use your left leg to pass over the back end of the horse, and you're facing backwards, and you continue that exercise all the way around. And for example, on mill, the judges will look at your hips and make sure that you're in rhythm with the horse and you're not bouncing on their back. They'll look at the amount of stretch that you have in your leg, as well as the consistency on your leg passes. So you want all of them to look like a nice rainbow and they all look exactly the same, which is difficult, but something to strive for. And after flag, is the next compulsory is scissors. And in scissors, you begin facing forward and I don't want to say lean and I don't want to say tip over, but the front half of your body goes down towards the horse's neck, and you swing your legs up and your legs will click, and then you'll twist your legs and end up sitting backwards on your way down. And that is scissors. And then the reverse half of scissors is doing essentially the same thing, but you're facing backwards to begin with, and you swing your legs up towards your face, cross them, and you'll end up sitting forwards. Or at least that's the point. We would like you to end up sitting forwards at the end of that. And after that is stand, which is pretty self-explanatory. You stand on the horse's back. And for this, you're judged on a whole lot of things, making sure that your feet aren't bouncing around, making sure that you don't move your feet at all. Something that is also important in vaulting when you're doing your compulsories is what they call re-gripping. So if you start to stand up and for whatever reason you lose your balance a little bit and you grab the handles again, you'll get points deducted for that. So you really try your hardest to, even if you get a little bit off balance, tighten up your body and do your best to move forward without re-gripping. And the next compulsory is flank, which has changed a couple times throughout my vaulting career. And now, currently, what flank is you do the same motion like you're about to do the first half of your scissors. And you click your legs together and you come off towards the center of the circle. And those are the compulsories in a nutshell. And for all the compulsories, you get scored from between a 1 and a 10. 10 being perfect, 1 being not so good. And in addition to this, on your score sheet, which is very helpful, a lot of times judges will make marks, which sometimes are a little hard to decode, but they use letter abbreviations for different things that you could have possibly done wrong on any of these. For example, they'll write MX for mechanics, so something you were doing was not mechanically correct or off balance. They'll write a lot of different notes that'll help you improve your score for future competitions or practice or whatever. So it helps out a little bit more than just a score between a 1 and a 10. And quickly to go over what a freestyle is. For freestyles, you get a little bit more freedom, a lot more freedom actually. You get to choose not only your music, your outfit, but you get to choose what you're doing on the horse. You get to choose all the different exercises you want to do. You get to choose the order that you put them in, the transitions in between, and it's, in my opinion, it's a lot more fun. And it's very personalized, which is always good. And it definitely, it makes it, you know, you have to think a lot about it and make sure that you're not facing the same direction the whole time. And it's a whole lot of fun to make up a freestyle, but it's definitely also a lot of work. So in a nutshell, that is the basics of vaulting. This is DJ Detour, and you're listening to my show Behind the Bit on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, and we'll be back in a couple minutes. What do you want me to do for you to see you through? Of rain will ease the pain and love to see you through. Just a box of rain, wind and water. Believe it if you need it. If you don't, just pass it on.
walking fast through the traffic lights, busy streets and busy lives, and all we know is touch and go. We are alone with our changing minds. We fall in love till it hurts or bleeds or fades in time. And I never saw you coming. And I'll never be the same. You come around and the armor falls, pierce the room like a cannonball. Now all we know is don't let go. We are alone, just you and me, up in your room and our slates are clean, just twin fire signs. Shades are wrong. We learn to live with the pain. Mosaic broken hearts, but this love is brave and wide. I never saw you coming.
Hey, this is DJ Detour back with my second segment on my show Behind the Bit on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So for this segment, I'm going to talk a little bit about the attire and hair and those types of things that you would see at a vaulting competition. So first, competition clothing that we wear. Usually, and for almost every event that you would do on the horse, you get to wear a leotard, which is, you know, or a unitard, everybody's favorite thing to wear, but not really. It's nice when it's cold out, though, because they actually do keep you warmer than you would think. But anyways, so we wear spandex so it doesn't get caught on any of the equipment that we use on the horses. It also makes it possible for us to have pretty much unlimited amount of stretch in our clothing. We don't have to worry about things ripping, which is always a bad thing when that happens. So that's generally what you use for vaulting when you do it on the horse. And for most teams, or pretty much every single team, you have a team leotard, which is one that when you are doing compulsories, for example, you know, for I'm at the silver level, so I run into the arena with one other vaulter on my team to do our compulsories together. So we have, the entire team has matching leotards, so it looks more uniform when we come in for the compulsories, because one thing we are judged on is our appearance. That sounds kind of messed up, but that's not how it's supposed to be. It's just that we all look uniform. Our hair looks good. We don't have like a bra strap hanging out of our leotard. Our lunger looks clean and has on her outfit. And also that our horse looks good. We ran in well and all that good stuff. So we have team leotards. For our team, they're pretty plain. Some teams get a little crazier with them, which is always, you know, that's great too. But, so we usually have those for team. For individual, you can kind of do more what you want to. You can wear a pair of spandex pants with a shirt. although it looks a whole lot nicer if you have a leotard. And this, you, a lot of people, I know my leotard is sparkly and fun, and I enjoy wearing it because it's sparkly and fun. A lot of other people, for their individual, have brightly colored sparkles, bedazzled, crazy stuff, which is, you know, that's good. And a lot of times you want to make sure that it kind of matches up with the music that you're using. So if you're using sad, depressing sounding music, you don't necessarily want to wear a hot pink leotard because it's just going to be a little confusing, I guess. It doesn't quite make sense. But you can do whatever you want. So if that's what you want to do, that's great. But that's not usually what people do. And for a lot of things on the barrel, sometimes people will wear leotards. A lot of times they'll wear pants with shirts. I know on our team we do that a lot. We enjoy, our coach has kind of gotten us hooked on sewing pants. So a lot of times we'll make really cool pants for doubles on the barrel and then have a shirt that matches them and we'll bedazzle them. And it's a lot of really good team bonding is what we call it. But it's a lot of fun to get prepared for stuff like that. And at practice versus the competition, our team does not ever wear leotards at practice. And we have had German exchange vaulters is what we call them. A lot of times they're not just coming here for vaulting, but they are usually like to be with a family who vaults. So we've been lucky enough to have a couple girls come and stay with various families on our team. And I know one of them that was here thought it was really weird that we did not vault in our leotards because that was the only thing they were allowed to vault in Germany. And it's, from what I've heard, it's a lot more strict over there and not as much fun as we have, especially on our team here. But we don't usually wear them. Usually we'll wear a pair of spandex leggings and whatever shirt already had horse slobber on it works just fine. So very different from competitions, but that's a little bit about it. And secondly, I'm going to talk about hair, which is, if you've ever been to a vaulting competition, you'll understand why it's such an important thing. So competition hair is one of the things in the sport that you form a love-hate relationship with. And a lot of times at competitions, myself and my friend Leah love to go and check out everybody's hair. It's always really interesting to see the different masterpieces of hair that other teams have created. It's always, I'm like, oh my God, how did you have the time to do that? Because a lot of them are very intricate and time-consuming hairstyles. So there's a lot of sticky hairspray fingers, pulled hair, bobby pin stabbed scalps, hairspray in your eyes. It's not the most pleasant thing to do, but we all do it. And one thing that you will learn if you are ever at a vaulting competition, especially with little vaulters, is the dangers of sparkle hairspray. In moderation, sparkle hairspray can be a nice add to your hairstyle that you have going on, but something that you will not understand unless this has happened to you is the dangers of it if it falls into the wrong hands. So if it falls into the wrong hands, and I know little girls love sparkles because I still love sparkles, but I think I probably loved them even more when I was younger because I didn't care about the whole moderation part of that. But it gets, the sparkle hairspray, it gets on everything. It gets on your clothes, on your purse, on your face, on your boyfriend if he came, because I know my boyfriend had a sparkle hairspray war at a competition with some of the little munchkins on our team. But really, it gets on everything. And if you spray too much just on your head, on your hair, first of all, you'll sparkle in the sun like tinfoil, which personally I don't want my hair to look like tinfoil, but I guess whatever floats your boat, especially if you're a little girl, then that's fine. But the other thing is that it kind of becomes embedded in your scalp. It's like I still think I see a sparkle every now and again in my hair, and it's some scary, it's some serious stuff, sparkle hairspray. But what one thing other than sparkle hairspray, vaulting, you can't have a bad hair day because of the amount of hairspray and gel and bobby pins and clips and whatever. It's impossible to have a bad hair day because your hair is going to be rock solid attached to your head. I've taken my hair out of a ponytail before after taking the bun out, and my hair, I'll take the ponytail holder out and my hair is still stuck to my head in a ponytail. So it's good for vaulting because it doesn't move and you can like do a headstand and your hair is going to look exactly the same after. But it does, there is a lot of really cool stuff you can do, and it doesn't look as horrible as it sounds when I'm explaining it. You know, you can make it fun, and a lot of times we'll do French braids and braided buns, and the new thing is people who do sock buns, and you can see a lot of those outside of vaulting too. You can go to the store and buy this little hair donut, but you can also take an old sock, like an old knee sock, and cut the toe off and roll it. And you have the same exact thing, which is usually what we do if we ever do sock buns. And they look really professional and nice. And one of the reasons it's so important to have your hair glued down to your scalp is because it is a part of our score. And it's also not very fun. I've had my bun come out while I was vaulting before. And then your hair's in your face and your eyes and gets stuck on things. And it is much better while you're vaulting to have your hair out of the way. And you also get a better score and you look all professional, which is always a plus in my idea. And the last thing I'm going to talk about right now is kind of what a normal practice is like. Or, well, actually, I'm sorry, that's what I'm about to talk about next. But another thing to be prepared at competitions with is a lot of food, because when you're vaulting, first of all, yes, water is the number one. You need water. It's very important to you and for your equine friends as well, to make sure you're very hydrated and bring or attempt to bring healthier foods. Bring like a lot of fruit and vegetables, and try to avoid bringing brownies because everybody really likes them and you don't feel very good after you eat them. So healthier food and light food is really good to bring to competitions. And I know I've made the mistake of eating a whole bunch of brownies at a competition once, and like a big sandwich, and I just wanted to take a nap for the rest of the day, and then it was hot. And it's a lot better if you stay hydrated and bring light foods for yourself, to keep you prepared and active and moving around for your competition. So that's kind of a couple things to explain the behind the scenes at competitions. And that's going to wrap it up for this segment. I'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
Said your name. Truly, madly, deeply, I am foolishly, completely fallen. And somehow you kicked all my walls in. So baby, say you always keep me truly.
I'm not a casualty. Hope you won't get up and leave. Might not mean that much to you, but to me it's everything. Everything.
Truly, madly, deeply, I am foolishly, completely falling. And somehow you kicked all my walls in. So baby, say you'll always keep me. Truly, madly.
Hey, this is DJ Detour back with my next segment on Behind the Bit on radio.dominican.edu. So this segment, I decided to bring up a story about why I have, or one of the reasons why I have a bad habit, I guess you could say, or have acquired the habit of overpacking for things. Or this is one reason I have. Anyways, I've always been one to overpack for everything. I'll go on a 2-day trip with friends and I'll be ready for a week-long trip. I'm always ready for everything, though. I'm ready for somebody to get hurt, somebody else forgetting all of their stuff, or, you know, my truck breaks down or whatever. I'm prepared. Sometimes this is a good thing. Other times, it's not such a good thing. One of the main problems is that there's not always unlimited space available. But I do like being ready for anything that life can throw at me. My need to be overly prepared has come in handy in many situations in my life, and vaulting competitions has been one of them. This persistent need to be prepared has become even worse since a tragic trip to Las Vegas. Myself and a couple of teammates decided to drive together to Las Vegas for a Region 1 regional championship competition. And we've gone to this many of the years in the past. It's a really fun competition to go to because regionals are always fun regardless of where they are, but it just makes it even more fun because there's lots of other sightseeing you can do outside of the vaulting competition. Although the vaulting competition does take up 98% of your day and 112% of your energy. But for this trip, we met up at about 4 in the morning. All of us were super sleep deprived from our last minute packing that I'm pretty sure we all did the night before. And not to mention the sun wasn't out yet. It was a really foggy morning and we were expecting rain in our hometown the following couple of days. I walked into my friend's house to help them grab all of their bags, and we made it back out to the Suburban where my boyfriend at the time was packing up the Suburban, which was like, oh, okay, great. We're, all our stuff is packed now. We're ready to rock. And we all hopped in the car and started our extremely long drive to the desert. After the eventful drive was over, we finally arrived at the Eastside Cannery. Everyone was eager to leap out of the car, stretch, go to the bathroom, check in, and sleep for a long time. Or not that long because we had to get up early in the morning. But I grabbed my purse and I went to the back of the Suburban to get my duffel bag. And I can't quite remember what emotion struck me first. If it was confusion, sadness, stress. But my bag was not there. And I think it was like a couple minutes of shock. And I was like, well, did someone already take my bag? It has to be here somewhere. We packed it. All my stuff is in my bag. And kind of, you know, I got a little crazy, I'm sure. And my glare quickly fell to the individual who was mistakenly trusted to load the car. I knew exactly where my bag was at that point. It was in the bed of the truck being soaked by the rain that had begun while we were driving to Vegas. And by the time we got back, all my clothes were soaked and smelled like mildew, which was really just the cherry on top of all this. And as you can imagine, I've been talking about all these outfits that we wear and they're complex. And, you know, if you've made your own leotard, which I have, I didn't have it at the time, but they're really time consuming and a pain in the butt to make. And you can't just, you know, they're not really replaceable. I mean, if you have a lot of money and a lot of time, they are. But in the moment, they're not really anything replaceable. And, you know, my bag also had all the little things, you know, your deodorant, your toothpaste, my glasses, all the stuff that you can replace at a nearby Walmart. But the leotards and the vaulting shoes were some of the essential things that were not so easily replaceable. Luckily, I have a bunch of wonderful teammates who did not hesitate to lend me vaulting slippers, which, you know, we do that a lot anyways. But, you know, of course, I have, like, no teammates who have the same size shoe as me. So it's like either you're wearing vaulting shoes that are too big or too small, but at least you're wearing vaulting shoes. And I made do with the team leotard, which luckily was not in my bag. My coach keeps them all together. Thank goodness. Especially in this situation. I'm very glad that she does that. So although our team leotard didn't really match my individual music, I used it anyways because I didn't really have a choice. But we also did make a really epic adventure to Walmart to replace all the things and also replace some of the outfits that I had for doubles and triples that were not leotards. They were like spandex pants with a shirt as well. So, and nicely enough, everyone else who I was doing those with was willing to buy a new outfit when we were down there. But, you know, of course, it would have just been so much better if I had my bag. But now, after this happened, this unfortunate event happened, I'm not going to forget it. And this is one of the reasons I think that I overpack a lot for things, because I'm like waiting for it to happen to someone else, because it's not going to happen to me again. It was not cool. But in my, I call it my bottomless competition bag. And there's a couple of things that I pack in there that I think are very crucial. And some of those things include vet wrap, which there's another word that they use for it. There's like a people version of it as well, but I can't remember what it's called, but it's the exact same thing. And it's of course cheaper because it's for horses, and it's, this stuff is amazing. I have a couple former injuries that act up from time to time, and this stuff is 100 times better than an ACE bandage, especially because when you're done with it, you take it off and you throw it away. You don't have to take it home and wash it or wear it and have it be dirty, because that happens if you're around horses. There's lots of dirt. And this stuff is very multi-purpose. So not only can you wrap your knee if your knee is bothering you, or wrap ice onto your knee if it's bothering you, but you can also use it on our equine friends that make this wonderful sport possible. If your horse gets any type of injury or even a cut, you can use it to wrap that. So it's very convenient for that as well. And to be perfectly honest, I've also fixed random things with it. You know, a handle fell off of a whip and I wrapped it with vet wrap and made it work. So it's extremely multi-purpose. The second thing that I think is crucially important is Vetresyn. And I believe I talked about Vetresyn a couple of shows ago when I was doing some product reviews. But it is a product that is mainly supposed to be used for animals, but I use it on myself as well. And it works for literally everything. It's a natural, antibiotic-free, steroid-free antibacterial. And what Vetresyn is supposed to do is mimic what an animal's body makes to heal wounds. So you can use it on everything from puncture wounds, post-surgical sites, scratches, hot spots, fungus, and it's even safe to use in eyes as well. I work at a feed store as well, and we've had people come in to use it on themselves for pink eye, which I thought was extremely interesting, but I guess it works on that. And I know I've used it on myself when I have had cuts or anything like that, and it works really, really well, and it doesn't sting when you put it on. So, you know, it makes me feel a little bit better if I ever need to use it on, well, I have used it on all of my animals, but that it's not something that's going to burn or sting or irritate them. And it works wonders. It's amazing stuff. So they also make a human version of it, and I believe that is called Purisyn and is about twice the price. And Vetresyn is already expensive as it is. So that's definitely a good thing to have, because you've got horses. A lot of times you're traveling, which your horse can do silly, not very intelligent things while traveling. So it's always good to have something for them, as well as I'm clumsy, and I know a lot of other people who are. So it's good to have something for the people as well. And a hat, which sounds like something kind of normal to pack. And maybe it's more normal for other people to pack, but not just for sunny situations, but for windy situations. It has been very helpful to me at vaulting competitions, as well as when I was actually vaulting. Not that we're supposed to wear a hat while we're practicing, but my hair tie broke and I shoved all my hair under a hat and called it good, and it worked great. And one of the last things I'm going to talk about is bringing a flashlight with you. Because if you ever go to the barn at night, or you have car problems, or you have to go take a shower at a fairground, the lights do not always work, or there are no lights. So a flashlight of some sort, I have a really cool, it looks like a pen, and it has LEDs on one side of it, and it has a magnet on the other. Most useful flashlight ever. And I've used it a whole bunch of times at the barn. I've used it at competitions in trailers. They're another really good thing to make sure that you have in your bottomless bag of competition stuff. So that is going to wrap it up for this segment on my show Behind the Bit on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. This is DJ Detour back with my last segment on my show Behind the Bits on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So for this last segment, I'm going to talk a little bit about what a normal practice is and some of the benefits that you can gain from equestrian vaulting. So in a normal practice, we usually, well, first we get our horses out. Because they are, of course, the most important part of the practice, and it would not be possible without their awesome behavior and awesome tolerance of our shenanigans that we deal with them. So we get our horses out, we groom them, get them all tacked up and ready for vaulting, and following that, somebody will warm up. We have a couple different horses that we use depending on. Different teams have more horses. Some teams only have one horse. But we're lucky enough to have a few that we vault on regularly. So whatever horse that we're using first or that day or however it's going, the first horse will be warmed up by somebody. And while that person is warming up the horse, the rest of the team or whoever is there is going to start warming up themselves. And usually it's my coach that is the one who is warming up the horse. So usually the whole team can kind of warm up together, or, you know, if people get there late, you warm up on your own when you get there or whatever. Our team in specific is pretty laid back in comparison to other teams. Other teams, it's a very more, well, it's a more strict environment. I enjoy the laid back type environment that we have, but to each their own. Some people might like the other one better, but at our practices, we'll warm up. A lot of times we'll run a couple laps around our arena that we have, and then follow that by doing some stretching on the, they're like, we have gymnastic mats that we put on the ground so we can take a seat on the ground and stay a little bit cleaner than if we didn't have it, and have a little bit of padding. So then we'll continue to do a bunch of different stretches. Different people will do different stretches. Different people need some stretches more than others. Following that, a lot of times we will do some exercises that may be on the barrel, which we have next to our circle. So it's in our arena. We have quite a few barrels, but there's a lot of different warm-ups and exercises and strengthening exercises that you can do on the barrel or on the ground, or there's lots of other exercises you can do with the things that we have. You can go use a fence and do crunches or whatever you want to do, but something constructive. Hopefully you'll be doing something constructive also, and that's usually with the older kid practice, we call it. But at the younger practice, there will be a coach or an older vaulter that will be kind of leading and herding the little munchkin vaulters and directing them to do different exercises and helping them out more individually than we do at the practices that I attend. And following that, by that time, the horse is usually warmed up. So then we'll start, a lot of times we start with compulsories, which I had talked about a little bit earlier. So depending on the practice, there's different sets of compulsory exercises that you would be practicing. And sometimes you'll end up doing one compulsory for 20 minutes. I mean, well, you won't be on the horse consecutively for 20 minutes, but you might end up spending half the time you're there working on just a couple things. To really improve those skills. And there's always exercises and things you can do to work on just a couple of compulsory exercises. So I know for me personally, my mill needs a whole lot of work. So a couple of practices ago, I think I spent 80% of the practice working on one thing, which was very good for me. But we try to not do that, especially with little kids, because they get really bored with it and then they just start running around. So we try to keep them doing a bunch of different things. And many people, I've tried to have some of my friends start vaulting, and a lot of people's first response is, well, I'm not flexible, I can't do that. But really, truly, honestly, you don't have to be flexible. You don't have to know how to ride a horse. You don't have to even be confident around horses, because there's a lot of things that vaulting can really help you improve. It'll help you improve balance, flexibility, strength, and confidence too. So it's really, I know I've seen with a lot of the younger vaulters that we have, some that you could really tell when they started vaulting, they were unsure about themselves, and you know, some of them were not very flexible or athletic or whatever, but it's definitely helped them, not just in this part of their life, but I know one girl in specific that has gained a lot of confidence in her, she horseback rides as well, and she's gained a lot more balance and confidence in that part of her life through equestrian vaulting. And not to mention that it's also a lot of times there is, depending on where you are, there's a really good program in LA for therapeutic vaulting. And there's actually a kid, a younger kid in LA who vaults with the team I was thinking of, who has muscular dystrophy and I think something else as well, but I can't remember. And his parents were told that he wasn't going to make it till he was 5. They also told him he would never be able to, or told the parents he would never be able to walk. He would never be able to communicate. And they told his story a couple, maybe for 3 or 4 years ago at the competition in Las Vegas. They told his story and he can vault almost independently. And he can also, I mean, it was, everybody started bawling their eyes out. He ran up and got his like award and is very cute, but it can be used for therapeutic purposes as well. So it is a very cool sport, but that's generally the basic stuff that we do at practice. And it's kind of, and a lot of times, especially for upper level vaulters, we are encouraged and almost have to do some sort of exercise outside of practice to stay fit, especially depending on what your vaulting schedule is and what the rest of your life looks like. But it's definitely a lot of cross training is good. You know, if you ride horses as well, or if you run or whatever, it'll definitely help you in your vaulting career as well. And there's a lot of different teams, and there's the team that I vault with is Morningstar Vaulters, and we are based in Novato at Morningstar Farm. And if anybody ever wants to try vaulting, the first practice is free and it's a whole lot of fun. But there's a lot of other vaulting teams as well. Tambourine Vaulters is in Petaluma. And then as you go further in different directions, there are more teams. And California, I believe, actually has the most vaulting teams in the United States. And also really cool, another fact is that a lot of the entire U.S. vaulting team that went to the World Equestrian Games the past couple years has been solely, everybody on the team has been out of California, which is really cool. And it's also very cool because in the whole, since it's such a small vaulting world, you really get to know a lot of people and a lot of really high level people. You know, I think last week I talked about Mary McCormick, who's the top women's vaulter in the U.S., who's working on going to the World Equestrian Games in France. She's done lots of clinics with our team and is a very amazing and inspiring person. And she's done clinics, I think she did one not that long ago for the younger vaulters on our team, and they had a whole lot of fun. So it's very cool to be able to have connections like that in such a small world, because you definitely get a lot of really cool experiences that you may not be able to have in other sports. So today I have talked about the basics of vaulting, an overview of the main events, compulsories, freestyle. I talked a little bit about team as well, which is a whole lot of fun. I explained a little bit about the scoring of vaulting. I also talked about the attire that we wear in competitions and outside of competitions, the important love-hate relationship that you form with doing competition hair and sparkle hairspray. Just beware, everyone. I also talked about my experience with, or my bad experience with a vaulting competition where my bag was forgotten, and some things that you can pack in your bag if you are ever going to a vaulting competition, and things that you should not forget, and even outside of vaulting competitions, good things to bring with you when you pack places. I also talked about what a normal practice looks like and how you can get started. And you can even go on, I think the website is AmericanVaulting.org, but if you look up American Vaulting Association, you can just type in your zip code and it'll tell you the closest team and a way to get in contact with them. And most of the teams have websites as well. And vaulting is a really, really cool sport, and it's definitely unlike any other sport that I've ever played before. When you go to a vaulting competition, it's not like other competitions where you can feel the tension between you and other teams. There are some bad relationships that have formed in the vaulting world for various reasons, but it's definitely very different. I mean, someone you don't know could be like, hey, your hair's messed up, like, let me fix it for you. Or you can go up to a random person and ask them to help you with something. And 9 out of 10 times, or probably more often than that, everyone's going to help you and help you achieve whatever you're trying to achieve. And it's just, it's a very positive environment and very enjoyable competition environment, unlike some other sports. And even horseback riding competitions are not that friendly and welcoming. So definitely lots of reasons that everyone should get involved in equestrian vaulting. And you can go check it out online. It's very cool stuff. Anyways, that is going to wrap it up for my show today. You can catch my show next week from 3 to 4 p.m. on Wednesday. You are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Everybody have a good rest of your day.
So I looked at the scenery. She read a magazine. And the moon rose over an open field. Thank you.